MLB, NBA, NHL, NFL, Score Big has all the sports tickets you want at up to 60% off. It's easy to use. I've used it myself. All you got to do is log on to sportsgamblingpodcast.com and click the Score Big icon. Score Big, the lead pipe lock for great game tickets. Welcome, everyone, to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I am Sean, stacking the money green with my partner in picks, Ryan, real money, Kramer, 1979, Ryan, 1979. That was the last time the New York Football Giants started 0-5. Take us into your mindset on Sunday morning, West Coast time, or early afternoon, when you realize the playoffs, your season's over.
What, you want a response?
I guess it's not really a particular question, but just how are you feeling coping with the fall of the Giants 2013 season? Who are you?
Here's what I'll say.
Who are you throwing under the bus? You got to throw someone under the bus.
No one.
Don't say freak random injuries. Don't say bad luck.
You did watch the game where every other play someone was getting hurt. You can agree with that, yes?
Yeah.
No, you don't throw people under the bus. I'm not a Philadelphia.
Oh, come on, Ryan. Fan. You gotta call for Tom Coughlin's head.
No.
You don't know anything about being a fan of a shitty team. Come on.
No. Oh, please. I know all about calling for Coach's head. I don't know. There's nothing to talk about.
All right. Well, we'll save that. Well,
there's nothing to talk about. I mean, I don't know why you're gloating so much. Where are the Eagles going?
Ah, man, they're going down to Tampa Bay, about to go 3-3.
Okay.
Entering in the Nick Foles era. I mean, they're tied for first place in the NFC East. Chip Kelly is 2-0 in road division games. I don't know what more you want from the man. Yeah,
I feel bad for you, Sean. I feel bad that you're optimistic. It's just going
to
make it worse when you crash and burn.
Yeah, crash and burn at 7-9 and hosting a home playoff game.
Oh, you calling for the 7-9 division win?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, they're already 2-0 in the division. What's stopping them, Ryan? I'll tell you, nothing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's recap week five. We'll talk a little bit more about the Giants-Eagles here in a second.
Oh, can't wait.
Thursday night game, Buffalo heading into Cleveland. Man, my Bills, baby. 4.5-point dogs, or 4.5 to 3.5, depending on where you got the number. Couldn't cover the spread, couldn't win the game, lost 37-24, although the game was much, much closer than that score. Brandon Hoyer and Manuel both got hurt. Hoyer's done for the season. Manuel looks like he could be out for 4 to 6 weeks. And
sounds like 6 to 8 weeks now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, a couple special teams plays really kept Cleveland in it early. Buffalo looks like they look like they should have won the game, and looks like they were on pace to win the game until Manuel got hurt.
Yeah, Sean, we were on the right side of this one.
I didn't feel terrible about this pick. I mean, if you bet Cleveland, you couldn't have felt great going into that fourth quarter, and especially, I mean, they were up 27-24. Buffalo's covering. Cleveland went down, just kicked a field goal.
Well, as soon as EJ Manuel got hurt, I wasn't really watching the game, but I assume that was not a good sign. But
no,
I don't know. I mean, at least you might argue, well, Cleveland also lost their starting quarterback. Well, they at least have a comparable backup.
Yeah, I mean, Wheaton had seen time. Put it this way. When Tool was in, here's what I thought was going to happen. I thought Buffalo was going to miss the field goal. It was going to be 27-24. Buffalo would have the ball. They'd be driving down, and Tool would throw a pick six. But Cleveland made the field goal. They got it to 30-24. Then Tool threw a pick six. So,
yeah, I don't know. I feel like there wasn't much to take away from this other than I really want to be looking to my instinct is to look to fade the Browns at this point. Unfortunately, they're in a spot where I don't know if I can fade them.
Yeah, and like it tweeted out on the Twitter handle, at Gambling Podcasts, Thursday night teams, or teams who played the previous Thursday night, 7-1 ATS. So look out, Ryan. Okay, New Orleans Saints go into Chicago, take care of business, 26-18. Looks like this game ended as a pick 'em. Man, I think we were both on the Bears here. Thought the long turf might be tough for New Orleans to handle. Alshon Jeffrey had a huge game. Brandon Marshall kind of annoyed. But New Orleans, man, looking for real.
Yeah.
And this was not a one-score game. Chicago got some points late, but man, New Orleans just looking good.
I really wanted to take the season win total under for both New Orleans and Atlanta. I decided to just pick one. Instead of picking Atlanta, I picked New Orleans, which is looking horrible at this point. Yeah, they do look legit. I think their defense is going to be a little overrated at this point. It is a Rob Ryan defense. It's aggressive. It's attacking. Perhaps they'll stay good all year because they'll be ahead. They'll be better when they're ahead. It's the same, basically the same team from last year when they had like a historically bad defense. So I feel like there's a little smoke and mirrors going on here. I think the defense is going to regress a little bit, but I mean, as of now, they look great. And Drew Brees is, if not for Peyton Manning, we might be talking about Drew Brees. He's having a pretty good year.
Yeah, very good year. Tom Brady not having too shabby of a year himself. New England Patriots went into Cincinnati and couldn't handle the rain, couldn't handle the Bengals. Man, Tom Brady's touchdown games with throwing a touchdown streak ended, I think, at like 51. Cincinnati wins 13-6. New England was getting a point there, point underdog. I don't know, not to take a lot. Didn't take away a lot from this game. It just felt like a sloppy slugfest back and forth. Nothing too crazy. And just, I was surprised New England wasn't able to score a touchdown at all. But it looks like they could be getting Gronk back this week. So
I think the Patriots are just, they've yet to shown any anything to get excited about on offense. Yards per play, they're in the bottom 10 in the league. I don't know.
Yeah, that's the thing.
They're only going to get better, though, and they are, 4-1 now?
Yeah, they're 4-1, and they haven't looked good. And they had a chance to win this game. I mean, Brady was driving. Crazy tip pass there, I think. Pac-Man Jones had the interception. It was a great play, but it's not like they were out of this game. So I think New England as a small dog New England as a dog or small favorite, I think I still like here in a lot of spots.
Yeah, I think so.
NFC North matchup, Detroit Lions headed into Green Bay where I think they're 0-15 for the past. They haven't won there since like crazy, 91 or something?
I think I saw a stat they haven't in their last, 21 games, or maybe 23 games in Green Bay, they're 4-19 against the spread.
Yeah, not good times for the Lions. I had the Lions getting 7, wasn't enough. They lost 22-9, although that plus 7 was with the assumption that Calvin Johnson was playing. He was a late scratch. I didn't know.
Why are you even bringing this up? They didn't cover the 10 either, Sean. They didn't cover 11 or 12.
Ah, they were pretty close. I probably would have stayed away once Calvin Johnson.
Pretty close. I didn't know that was a stat.
Well, it's, football handicapping.
Almost covers.
Football handicapping's like horseshoes. If you get close, you can still count it. Much like the Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones claimed that it was a moral victory against the Denver Broncos, I'm going to claim the same here in my Detroit Lions Green Bay pick that it was a moral victory.
Okay.
Oh, Ryan, felt good about this. Kansas City Chiefs going into Tennessee, taking care of business. My main man, Andy Reid, former main man, 26-17, close game, back and forth. Kansas City definitely had a chance to blow it, but defense came up at clutch times. Alex Smith moving the ball, looking pretty sharp. And I would describe this Chiefs team as efficient. You know, not too flashy, not dominant, but they just seem to...
They're squeaking out wins.
Yeah, they just play textbook solid football. Not a lot of turnovers, playing solid defense, good special teams, nothing too flashy. And they're looking good.
Yeah, I thought... I had Tennessee in this, and it was looking all right down the stretch, and then, the Kansas City score, and the game ended. But I think the real thing to look at is who Kansas City's played so far. At Jacksonville, Dallas, at Philly, Giants, at Tennessee. I think this is probably, I mean, you're looking at three NFC East opponents, former Andy Reid divisional rivals in Jacksonville. Tennessee, I'll give them that. That was a solid win, but might be a good time to maybe sell your Kansas City stock.
Yeah, I mean, I'm
maybe catch up with the market. Maybe the market maybe will take a couple weeks to adjust, but I think maybe you want to get ahead of that market. And yeah. Also, are you calling Andy Reid your man because you threw him under the bus and you feel bad, or what's going on with that?
No, because I picked the Chiefs and they covered.
Okay,
I think. Put it this way. That's what I was saying. I was describing the team as efficient because, like you said, I don't think you want to get too far ahead of yourself and claim this team is dominant. But that's the other thing. I don't think public perception is that they are dominant. They're 5-0, but I don't think the public's treating them the same way that they treat the Broncos or the Saints.
No, but they're still 5-0. And
yeah, but I don't think they're getting
– teams that win and cover – gain backers. I mean, that's just how it works.
Yeah, but I don't think
you
their
bet
line
on a team
is...
and they win you money, you start loving them. I mean, you fall into that trap, Sean.
I don't think their line's that inflated yet. Speaking of teams I bet on, I fall in love with the Indianapolis Colts at home. I feel so dirty, jaded. I went against my Colts. I picked the Seahawks to cover 2.5 in Indy. Thought they were unstoppable, but I forgot about my main man. My real main man, Andrew Luck, at home, 34-28, the Indianapolis Colts win. And like with a lot of Colts wins and covers, there's a lot of good reasons why they shouldn't have covered, why they shouldn't have won. That block punt was definitely a touchdown. They ruled it a safety, 5-point swing right there, huge difference. I think Seattle goes up 17-0. I don't know if they come back there. Ryan, is Indy for real?
I mean, at this point, I can't say they're not for real. I do have a hard time believing that their defense is all of a sudden one of the top defenses in the league. They impressively beat Seattle, San Francisco, who were two of the better teams in the NFL. I don't know. You got a lot of main men, Sean.
Yeah,
men.
Exactly.
Brandon You're like Adler. A black dude with his cousins, you know? Got six cousins in the league.
You got five main men. Oh, Ryan. Jacksonville Jaguars in St. Louis. 11.5. The Rams can't lay 11.5. Well, they can when they're going up against the Jacksonville Jaguars. They won 34-20. Ugly game. Ugly cover. But they did it, Ryan. We had the Rams.
We did.
It's just as simple as going against the Jags until proven otherwise.
Although I'm going to say this, Sean. Maybe time to buy the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Well, we'll see, Ryan.
From a point spread value perspective,
at some point they got to cover, right?
Well, and they got their arguably their best player back from suspension. He looked good. He put a little scare into us for a little bit on Sunday when they went up by 7, or were they up 10 at one point?
I think they were up 10-0. Yes, Justin Blackmon had an 88-yard touchdown, and just simply.
And I'll be honest with you, Blaine Gabbert out. I still believe that that's better for Jacksonville Jaguar fans.
Yeah, Chad Henne, much more.
I don't want to call him a great quarterback, but coming back,
step up from Blaine Gabbert.
And real quick, how did Josh Freeman not get signed by Jacksonville?
Well, Ryan, the same reason Jacksonville's passed on a lot of quarterbacks.
Is it because they're trying to move to London?
Well, whatever it is, they're not actively trying to win.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you not get a guy like Alex Smith? There were plenty of other good quarterbacks out there. Tebow, I feel like, is a step up from Gabbert. I mean, there's obviously...
Josh Freeman was available. He made a Pro Bowl, didn't he?
Why'd they trade away their best left tackle, Ryan? Like,
well, to be fair, they did. He was not playing well, and they did have the number two pick, Luke Jokel, to slot in there at left tackle. Unfortunately, he broke his ankle in the game on Sunday, so... Now they're SOL.
Even more SOL. Baltimore Ravens at home. Love Ravens as a home dog. They won outright 26-23 against the Dolphins. And as much as the Ravens don't look good doing it, they were in Miami.
Yep.
Sorry, my bad. They were a road dog. Nice win for the Ravens, though.
Yeah, I think we both liked Baltimore here. Seemed like it was a more of a sell on the Dolphins for me than it was a buy on Baltimore. But yeah, I mean they win by three, right?
Yep. Yeah, they won by three.
So but newsflash: Joe Flacco still not good. Still maybe the most overpaid man in America.
Huh? I don't know, Ryan. I mean, there's Josh Freeman, for example. It's getting $2 million. May not even.
You know what though? That clearly there's something going on with the coach, and he's not going to be the head coach by the end of the year. He screwed some. That was more of like a coach doesn't like quarterback deal.
Well,
he wasn't playing well. I agree, but.
Well, speaking of not playing well, New York Giants failed to show up once again at home, getting shellacked by Nick Foles and the Philadelphia Eagles, 36-21. Oh, Ryan, how does it feel?
It's the first time in, you know, really the first time since Eli has been quarterback, like starting the season, that they've been dreadful. And yep. To be fair, this has been a concern for the past 5 years. They haven't really looked to replenish the offensive line. And they've been real fortunate. They've had an old offensive line, I mean, both Super Bowl years, and they've been lucky with injuries. And it just it all hit them at once this year. And they can't block anyone. They cannot block anyone, and Eli is just getting hit and hit. They can't run the ball. David Wilson's probably out for the year maybe now. It's kind of comical at this point.
Yeah, it is. Like for all those catches off guys' helmets and crazy plays and starting 0-2, like for all the fortunate breaks they've had in their two Super Bowl seasons, I think it's all coming to roost for the New York Giants and just a cavalcade.
So by all the fortunate breaks, you mean the one helmet catch?
I don't know, Ryan. I mean, I can go through the list of all of Eli Manning's, you know, tip passes. They seem to have been to win. I don't know, to win the Super Bowl from 9-7. I think you come across some fortunate breaks, and yeah, there is some luck there.
I mean, it's a playoff. It's a win or go home playoff, Sean.
Okay, well then,
you can argue the merits of them getting into the playoffs at 9-7. Sure.
Yeah.
But once they're there, it wasn't like they were winning close games in those playoff runs. There were a couple. Sure, the San Francisco knee fumble. I'll give you that. But
so see, there's a couple things there. Now they're paying for it dearly.
Okay, I'll make that trade. Two Super Bowls for a bad season. You'd make that trade too. Unfortunately, you don't know what it feels like to win a Super Bowl, Sean. I guess I don't either. But at least the team I root for knows what it feels like to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, right. I don't know how many Super Bowl.
Yeah,
rings
how many? How many times do you watch your recorded version of America's Game on your DVR from 5 years ago?
Why would I watch it?
Exactly.
Well, except I could.
You don't have a Philadelphia Eagles version. Speaking real quick about NFL film, Sean. Did you see the news about Hard Knocks?
That they can force teams to do Hard Knocks.
I like that.
Yeah, but who are they really going to be able to force? I remember there were all these conditions.
Oh, I don't know. I just saw the headline and was thinking, like, oh, that's great. Because, I mean, all the franchises that you'd be interested in watching, none of those franchises are going to let them do it. So it would be interesting to see what happens with that. Nice. I think the reason they're pushing is because they're going to end up having to do the Bengals and the Cowboys every year.
Just every year. Okay, Ryan, Arizona Cardinals at home. 2-point dogs. Felt good about my cards.
Yeah,
my cards. Arizona Cards going up against Sham Newton. Sham Newton couldn't do anything on the road. Once again, Carolina fails to cover, fails to show up. How is Ron Rivera still their coach? I am flabbergasted.
I was about to say.
They lost 22-6.
I've adjusted my coach power rankings. He's now the worst. He's below Greg Schiano.
Yeah.
He really has no clue how to coach. I don't understand why you would completely overhaul your offense. It seems like that Chudzinski or whatever, the guy who's coaching the Browns, was the brains of the operation over there. Classic situation where a defensive guru who has defensive players has no clue how to get a defense on the field, can't coach an offense. That offense looks lost. I don't know. I mean, I still don't like Arizona. I just think Carolina's complete garbage. I can't. Now, that being said, I'll probably continue to find ways to want to back them, but I don't understand. I just don't understand how Ron Rivera still – he might – we talked about this before the season. He might be the first coach to go.
I don't know how he's not gone yet. I mean, what did you see last year from Ron Rivera? And then what did you see starting this?
Well, you know,
I don't know when Carolina's bye week is, but he's got to get the axe.
The it's funny because we talked about like how they've lost a lot of close games, right?
Yeah.
And you want to put that on the defense or Cam Newton or whatever, but
no, but that's coaching.
At the end of the day, when you lose a lot of close games, there's something maybe is going on with your coach, and whether it's time management, use of timeouts, challenges, calling the right plays, being ultra conservative.
Well, close games, that's where coaching matters most because, listen, you could have Vince Lombardi. He's not going to help the Jags beat the Broncos because they're just such a talent disparity. But in close games, you get a slight edge. That's where coaching makes a difference. Ryan, speaking of teams who cannot win close games or in the clutch, the Dallas Cowboys, who we both picked to not cover the spread. They did cover the spread. It was 7.5. They covered that easily against the Denver Broncos. Broncos won 51-48 against Dallas. Shootout in Big D. I didn't catch a lot of this game. Honestly, I was pretty drunk from the Eagles win. May have dozed off during this game. Ryan, what's your takeaway? Sounds like another classic Tony Romo choke job. And then everyone wants to point out, oh, well, they wouldn't have got there if it wasn't for Tony Romo to begin with.
Now, to be fair, I watched this game very intently because I, of course, had a crazy money line parlay. I needed the Broncos to win the game. Now, look, no one is happier than I am that Tony Romo threw that pass. So the storyline is Romo chokes again. Romo played awesome. He played an awesome game. The Cowboys played an awesome game. I think they showed people how you beat Denver's defense. Unfortunately, for teams that play Denver in the future, Champ Bailey coming back this week, Von Miller coming back in 2 weeks. I think this is more of a story about Denver's defense, or maybe lack thereof. I mean, Denver's offense did the same thing. Cowboys' defense couldn't stop anyone. I think Romo played a good game. But it makes me smile so much that he threw that pick. So the story then becomes Romo choked. And
there's got to be something there. I don't care what anyone says. At some point, there's got to be a mental thing where you can't close.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. It was really a good play by the linebacker, too. Like, I feel like it really wasn't that bad. I mean, he probably shouldn't have thrown it. There was a guy coming at his feet. He kind of panicked. But it's one of those things. Like, when a defender makes a great diving catch and you've played a great game and all the story is after the game is yep. that you suck, I'm cool with that.
Yeah. Well, it's Tony Romo. Of course we're cool with that. Ryan, speaking of mental breakdowns, Matt Schaub going into San Francisco. Really like San Francisco here. Was planning on betting it. Like I said, I dozed off, a.k.a. passed out during the Denver-Dallas game. Missed my chance to get some money down on the 49ers here. And bummed I didn't because 49ers blew out the Houston Texans 34-3 to the point that people are showing up on Matt Schaub's front lawn.
Well, the police department said that was a non-story. Apparently there was a man snooping around. Look,
Matt Schaub starts the game off with a pick six, fourth pick six in a row, which I don't think
NFL record. Look, this is what I get for rooting for a team that has a quarterback from the University of Virginia. Everyone knows you go to the University of Virginia, you are a complete piece of garbage, and maybe not heterosexual. I don't know. Look, you want to hear a crazy stat, Sean?
Sure, lay it on me.
One team in the NFL has outgained their opponent every week. Can you tell me who it is?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say the Houston Texans.
How do you outgain a team and lose 34-3? How is that possible?
It's impressive.
Now, look, all things aside, it's hard to ignore a quarterback that gives spots the other team 7 points, but this is like an ideal numbers only look, fade the public perception of this team is still outgaining. They're still moving the ball. They still have a stout defense. They're number one yards against, and they're like number 26 points against because the teams are starting with these short fields. And I know you have to factor that in, but it's one of those things like, you know, It just, I don't know. I still want to back this team because they're still a good, very, very good football team, and especially now they just got blown out. I feel like this is a good time to buy them.
They did underperform the spread by 21 points, Ryan.
Yeah, that too. That too, Sean. But it, holy crap. I mean,
hey, listen, I said Matt Schaub was broken a couple weeks back, and I haven't seen anything that shows me otherwise.
Well, this is one of those interesting weeks where you want to see, is the team behind Matt Schaub? And if they are, this is like their, so I believe, did Houston play two road games in a row, and this is their coming home game?
I'll have to look up. I forget who'd they have before San Francisco.
They didn't. They were home.
Yeah, not good times for the Houston.
They're
Texans.
Coming home. I think they come home. I don't know. It's just how do you outgain a team and lose 34-3, Sean?
It's impressive, and that's the kind of numbers Matt Schaub's putting up. All right, Ryan, rare late Sunday night game.
It was strange, wasn't it, Sean?
Yeah, it was, watching football at that time. Oakland Raiders winning outright. I think you called it as your upset special.
I did.
4.5-point dogs at home, 27-17. I watched the game with our Chargers friend, our buddy Justin Decker. We were at a Barney's Beanery. It's kind of like a Buffalo Wild Wings, if you guys listen in different parts of the country, but it's all Raiders fans. All, I don't know if you've ever
Raiders.
Possibly
Raiders.
The most obnoxious fans of all time.
That's all they do. They just do that the whole game. And so, God help any Charger fans that were there, scared for their life.
Yeah.
Some dude with some teardrop tattoos looking
Justin
at him.
Justin was not enjoying it.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, Justin's like this small, like skinny white dude.
Yeah.
Not a smart place to be.
No, not a good time. Not a good time for the Chargers or their fans. Just did not look. They just didn't play that well. I mean, they made a nice little comeback there, and I thought they would maybe had a chance. But Chargers, interesting team. They seem to be much like the Houston Texans, moving the ball great, but also finding ways to lose. So
look,
it'll be interesting.
I bet against the Chargers to win 8 games this year. They're better than I thought they'd be. This was just a scheduled loss. I mean, it's like as soon as it was already going to be a tough game as soon as it went to a primetime game. The city's all yoked up because the A's are in the play. It's one of those situations that I just
give the Raiders fans 3 more hours to get
drunk. Oakland, I mean, they started out fast. And real quick, Sean, coming back to the Houston game, they ran 71 plays to San Francisco's 52 plays. And outgave them 313 to 284. How do you only have 3 points when you run 71 plays?
Well, that's the whole thing. Like, people were the first
time of possession, 33 minutes and 52 seconds to 26 minutes and 8 minutes.
When that first Eagles game, they kept talking about they ran so many plays.
Yeah.
They had so much time of possession. It's like these are meaningless.
Yeah, you got to score
stats when you turn the ball over like that.
Anyway. Just impressive.
New York Jets going into Atlanta, winning outright as 10-point dogs. I like the Jets a lot, getting 10 points. I thought it was going to be a close game. It was. I was surprised, though, the Jets won outright. But I like Jets getting 10 here. Felt like it was a good spot. Also hit the over in league heads. But Jets 30, Atlanta 28. Atlanta drove down. Kicked a late field goal, seemingly sealed things up, but Geno Smith, man, confident, poise.
So the
nice performance all around.
The takeaway is I think the Jets' defensive line looked impressive, but my real takeaway is that a lot like my Giants, the Atlanta Falcons cannot block anyone.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick gave everyone the blueprint on how to stop them in the red zone, and that's just tackle Tony Gonzalez. And lastly, their defense is awful. I mean, their defense can't stop any. They made Geno Smith look good, and I thank them for that because I'm going to look to fade Geno Smith next week due to the increased. I mean, people are talking about how Geno Smith is like this great quarterback. Like, what? No.
I know. It is. That's the only. That's kind of the good thing with this 24-hour news cycle on Twitter. Like, the public perception just jumps and falls immediately. So, I feel like the public is just jacked up to overreact to any kind of situation.
Yeah, and I feel like that's given us some good opportunities this week coming up.
All right, Ryan. Well, let's see. You want to check in on the
We can check in on everything, Sean.
All right. Why don't we do a little checking in on stuff?
All right. Pick them real quick. C. Boyce. Was C. Boyce tweeting out some hockey picks that I see, or is that someone else?
I think that was Boston Capper.
All right. C. Boyce, first place.
Who also, Boston Capper got at me on Twitter.
Oh.
And, well, after you said something like, screw the Red Sox.
Okay.
You know, the walk-off, whatever. And then he tweeted at me directly and was like, you're just a jaded Philly fan.
Yeah.
I think he assumed you were...
But I like that.
I just
although respond. I feel like if you follow the Twitter and listen to the show, you have a good idea who's tweeting out what.
Yeah.
Sean's tweeting out ridiculous news stories and ridiculous trends usually, and shit talking about me. And I'm usually just tweeting out my picks and maybe some anti-Boston stuff. All right, C Boys, Nostradamus, first place with 40, tied with Zim Zum, Not Dumb. Both at 40. Not bad. In third, I Am a Genius with 38. Tied for fourth, Sean. Pax Picks, 37.
What am I at, guys?
Pickmaster, 37. And Sean Green with 37.
Oh,
Sean, you and Zim Zum Not Dumb are actually having insane seasons. He's in the 98.7th percentile. He actually, if you take away the drop weeks, he's got 45, but one of his weeks was a 5.
Yeah,
Sean, you have gotten week 1, 10, week 2, 7, week 3, 10, week 4, 10, week 5, 7. Pretty insanely consistent.
Yeah. Yeah, 7. If 7's your worst week in a pick'em, I feel like that's you're on the right track, Ryan.
All right, Sean, real quick, should we recap a little league heads action?
Yeah, sure, throw it in there.
Even though it is week through 5 weeks, we only played 4 weeks. Number one, we'll just stick with it. There's two guys at the top. They actually tied each other. My Vic in a box, Travis Kreens. 3-0-1 with a nice season wide of 25K. And second place, Sean. It's Loose Picks.
Oh.
Steve-O. Stat Nerd Steve coming in. 3-0-1, much smaller wad, 16K.
Yeah, I feel like my wad's pretty high.
Yeah, and we were actually, since I am involved in the site, talking with some of the creators and really thinking about maybe for next season moving to more of a victory point format where you get points for wins and how much you win that week relative to the rest of the pack.
Yeah.
So yeah, like Sean, you for example, you're 1-3, but you got a nice season wad of 29K.
Yeah. See,
so
that's,
I'm 3-1, and I only got 16K.
It's all about the season wad, man.
There you go. All right, Sean.
All right.
Week 6. You know what? Sean, I feel like I should be more depressed about the season, but it is allowing me to focus more on actually gambling.
Hey,
and
Ryan,
even though I'm doing horrible in the pick'em, and I'm not doing well, we're not doing well in the Hilton contest, the LVH contest.
Doing okay, not too bad.
I'm winning money.
Yeah.
So, say what you will. It's, I don't know. All right, Sean, Thursday night. This Thursday night game could not have come at a worse time for the New York Football Giants. So, quick story about that, Sean.
Yeah.
Did you know the New York Football Giants is the actual name of the franchise?
No.
When they started, there was already a baseball team, so they went by the New York Football Giants. Like, that's their official, like, trademark name or whatever.
Huh.
I don't know if that's since been changed, but that's the story behind it. I always thought it was just a Chris Bermanism, but...
Yeah, no, so did I.
They head to Soldier Field on short rest with injuries piling up. Well, they'll face the Bears, who are also a bit loathing a bit. I don't know what to make of this game. I cannot endorse playing the Giants. 7.5 is the spread, Sean.
Well, I already got down on Chicago minus 7. Like you said, this Giants team is a wounded animal. I think if I am going to play the Giants, I'll play them the following week. I feel like on this short week, they still got one more loss in them. But I feel like after this Thursday week, they'll rebound. Coughlin will get them together a little bit to put out a decent performance. But right now, you just can't pick the Giants, so give me Chicago minus 7.
Yeah, I'm not betting on this game, and I don't know why I keep throwing away a pick in the pick'em, but I'll take the 7.5. You know, maybe I should go against him this week. Maybe that will be the ticket.
Hey,
maybe
Ryan, that'll it worked for me.
Give me the Bears.
Nice.
Yeah, maybe we can upgrade to Grill Clash, Sean. All right. Your Kansas City Chiefs. And their, I don't know, is it revived home field advantage? They host division rival, the Oakland Raiders, and backdoor Terrell Pryor. Although he hasn't really been backdooring games. He's just been covering games. Spread's 8.5. This is one of the spreads that immediately jumped out. I grabbed it late Sunday when the spreads first dropped. I got Raiders plus 10. It's now down to 8.5. I still like the Raiders. I'll take the Raiders all the way down to 7. We talked about this Chiefs team. Part of it is I want to sell a little bit on the Chiefs. Part of it is I just don't think they can beat teams big. You look at their games, and even, yeah, they blew out the Giants, but that game was close late in the third quarter. Dexter McCluster returns that punt, kind of changes the makeup of the game. I think if you look at all the games they've played, with the exception of Jacksonville again, the game was relatively close. And even if the score doesn't quite indicate it, Dallas was definitely a close game, obviously. Philly, I did not watch that game, Sean, but would you say that was kind of a – it didn't feel like a 10-point game?
No, Eagles definitely had a shot there.
Chiefs benefited from a lot of good fortune. Like I said, the Giants, that was a, what, 10-7 or 13-7 game late in the third quarter.
Yeah.
And Tennessee, they were losing the game. They end up winning 26-17, which is crazy. They were losing 17-13 with, what, 7 minutes left in the game? So,
yeah, I mean, Oakland's got a little bit of fight in them, and 9 points is just too much for a division game. I mean, division rivalry, 9 points feels a little high.
Yeah. I mean, circle this. That's definitely one of the games I like a lot. The only thing that scares me a little bit is all the money coming in on Oakland.
Oh, great.
73% of the tickets on Oakland at this point.
Yeah, but then you look at Yahoo Pick'em, and it's only 38% Oakland.
Okay. That's probably a bigger sample set, so maybe, who knows. Anyway, moving on. Sean, your Philadelphia Eagles head down to sunny Florida, where they take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Who are the Bucs coming off a bye? They are.
Yes.
Bucs coming off a bye at home against a very mediocre Eagles team who just beat up a shitty Giants team. The Eagles are favored by 1.5. Here's the matchup I'll point out in this game, Sean. Tampa Bay, one of the better teams against the run in the league. What does Philly need to do to be successful? Run the ball. I really don't have a good feeling about this game. I want to fade the Eagles, so I'm going to fade the Eagles. I really don't have a great feeling other than I'll play the team coming off the bye. Glennon had an extra week to prepare. They have a solid defense, and I'll buy into Shiano for 1 week, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, right there you said it, Shiano. I think this guy's. I think a bye week actually hurt this team.
Oh, okay.
Just one more week of hanging around the practice facility. Freeman got released. You were just dealing with all this drama. The team clearly is not buying into Shiano at all. I think you got Nick Foles coming down here. Nick Foles' only other win as a starter was in Tampa Bay. I think he looked fairly sharp throwing the ball. He got the tight ends involved, which Vic had trouble doing. He also looked good in the red zone, another issue the Eagles had struggled with. So I think Philadelphia wins this game. It's going to be close. It's going to be ugly. I say Eagles win 16-13.
Yeah, I don't know if I mentioned the spread. It's 1.5. The other thing I meant to point out was 92% of the tickets on Philly.
Yeah, but again, this
fade
Tampa
the public.
Team,
fade the public for this game for me.
Tampa Bay team is not a team I can encourage people to bet money on.
I agree, but I'm just trying to justify fading the Eagles, so I'm going to say this is a fade the public perception game. All right, Sean. Green Bay Packers head to Baltimore, where Baltimore is a 2.5-point home dog. We spoke about this game a little before the show. I don't know, Sean.
I like Baltimore.
Over-under's 48.5, too. I got to be honest, that seems a little high. You like Baltimore. I like Green Bay. We talked about this. I'm not so much selling Baltimore as much as I am. I feel like I like this Green Bay team. Some of their losses, in hindsight, maybe not such bad losses at San Francisco, at Cincinnati. I think they're going to just outscore Baltimore. I don't think Joe Flacco is going to be able to keep up with Aaron Rodgers. To me, this feels like a 27-20 type game. So I also kind of like the under. If you can somehow, I also think this game is going to creep up to the three, maybe go back to 3.5 where it opened.
Oh yeah.
So if you do like Baltimore, I really think this is a game you wait, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, so at 2.5, it makes it a little bit tougher. But and we've talked about the 2.5 point dogs, especially the 2.5 point home dogs, how juicy that is. But I'm gonna have to ride my Packers here.
Yeah, I like the Ravens. I've been liking them for most of the season. I think also I think not having Clay Matthews huge for Green
Bay.
Okay,
yeah, that's fair.
I think a guy like Joe Flacco. He's one of these guys that gets by on exploiting matchups, and I think he's going to be able to exploit the fact that Green Bay's missing their middle linebacker. Not having a middle linebacker is huge. He has a huge impact on the pass rush. I think Baltimore's going to be able to move the ball, and I think this is a game they win outright.
Yeah, I guess the one thing to look out for is can Baltimore start to run the ball a little bit better? Because I think as long as they struggle to run the ball, they're going to struggle to win games. All right, Sean. A lot of road favorites this week. The Detroit Lions, who, in my opinion, should never be favored on the road, head to Cleveland. We talked about this, Sean. I really wanted to fade Cleveland in this spot. Coming off this game, felt like there was going to be a little too much hype. Good time to sell that stock, but not against Detroit, I'm not. And this also falls into your trend. I'll ride Cleveland here, +2.5. Again, it's a 2.5, but I really wanted to fade the Browns due to this public perception. But and again, this might be this unlike the Ravens game. I'm not sure this game gets the three. So for that reason, if you like the 2.5, I think you grab it. 64% of the money is coming in on Detroit, or at least the tickets is coming on Detroit. I'm a little concerned about Brandon Whedon. This is more of just a pick than a play for me.
Yeah, this is, for me, just more of a home dog. And it feels like Cleveland, yeah, I do like these teams coming off the Thursday. See, the thing is, I think with a bye week, that the number incorporates, or the spread's incorporated, the rest is incorporated in the number you see there.
You don't think it is for Thursday?
It doesn't seem like it is incorporated as much with the Thursday games, and I think that's why the 7-1 ATS.
Yeah, what are you going to make this, though? You're not going to make it -2.5 the other way.
Well, right, but I don't think Cleveland being a 2.5 point dog is really, being shifted. Yeah, I don't think that's an overvalue for the public.
I agree.
So I like Cleveland here getting 2.5.
All right, next up, Minnesota Vikings coming off a bye, host Sham Newton and the Carolina Panthers.
So it rolls right off the tongue. Right?
Yeah, right. Write this down. First time I'm starting to turn on Cam Newton. Carolina's getting 2.5. I really don't know what to make of this game. So again, when I really don't, and I really went into it not wanting to back Cam Newton again. I wanted to try to pull myself out of it. So I just told myself I would take one. I think there might be some locker room drama going on. Signing a new quarterback. What's that doing for the locker room, Sean? And secondly, I'm going to fade the public here again. Minnesota -2.5 is getting 92% of the tickets. Never a good sign. I know they're coming off the bye. I'm taking Carolina.
See, Ryan, I'm going to go with Minnesota here. I love going against Carolina. Love going against Carolina on the road.
Yep.
Especially any spot where Carolina's getting less than 3 points, it's tough for me to think of a spot I don't like them where they're getting less than 3 points. Minnesota, like you said, coming off the bye week. I don't even know who's starting a quarterback. I'm guessing Matt Castle will. I don't think Josh Freeman.
Maybe Josh. No, they said he wasn't going to start.
Here's the thing. I mean, they have Adrian Peterson, right? And yes. You look at this. Look at this Vikings team. What is this Vikings team? Aren't they pretty comparable to Arizona? Wouldn't you say?
I think you could argue they're better.
The same problems that Carolina had against Arizona, I would say Minnesota does that stuff almost better. I mean, Arizona, I think, probably has a better defensive backfield. But other than that, Minnesota's a much better run game. I would say comparable quarterback play, if not better. And, I mean, well, Matt Castle I'd probably right at Carson Palmer.
Minnesota's got a better offense.
Yeah, so
Arizona's got a – here's the difference. Arizona has a much better defense.
But I think Minnesota has a very good home field advantage.
True.
Playing in that dome, it's going to be loud as shit. True. And you got Adrian Peterson. So give me the Vikings minus 2.5.
One other thing to point out. I don't have the numbers for it, but I've heard it mentioned on the first preview podcast for pregame a bunch. Teams coming off a road loss playing a second road game. That team is a good enough trend where it gets mentioned week in and week out. So not that that's going to cause me to play it. For me, it's just more of a I can't get behind this Vikings team. It's going to burn me because it burned me against the Pittsburgh Steelers. But anyway, next up, Houston Texans head home where they get right against the St. Louis Rams, laying 7.5. Sean, does this not feel like a trap to you? Is something sneaky about going? Why is this 7.5?
What do you think it should be?
I don't know. Based on the way Houston's playing and they're spotting teams, it shouldn't it be less?
Yeah, but I think St. Louis is a very bad team.
I was getting there.
I actually like Houston here, and I don't.
Do you know
like...
what this line was before the year, Sean?
No.
At one of the shops had a look ahead line. This was 13, between 10 and 13 in a couple shops before the season. So this is a pretty fair adjustment.
I mean, I think they're combined 1-9 against the spread.
Yeah.
So
Houston ain't covered yet. So St. Louis must be
St. Louis. Yeah. Their cover was against the Jaguars was their only cover. So I think the St. Louis team is not good, especially on the road. And like you said, I think Houston maybe gets right here. So,
I think they get right, and I think this is the reason. Houston, very good against the run. St. Louis, not very good at running the ball. Sam Bradford looks like shit when there's pressure, and J.J. Watt's going to be in his face. I think it's just one of the, like, if they give him a pocket, he looks good. He looked all right against Jacksonville.
I see a similar performance. Basically, what St. Louis did in Dallas, I see a similar thing
now,
going down in Houston.
If Matt Schaub throws a pick six, I think St. Louis probably covers. So let's hope that doesn't happen. All right, Sean. Ooh, big matchup. We talked about this a little before the show. New York Jets host the Pittsburgh Steelers, where the Steelers are getting 2.5. This line opens Sunday at Jets plus 3. The Jets are now minus 2.5. I was intrigued by the Jets, and then they played so well, and I was like, oh, we got to fade this Steelers team. I got to believe Tomlin's got them focused. All those positive trends, coming off a bye. They're winless. They're going to be focused. The Jets aren't that good. The big concern for me is the offensive line versus the Jets' defensive line. But Le'Veon Bell came back. It looked like they might be able to start running the ball a little bit. And you still, I mean, at the end of the day, it's still Ben Roethlisberger. He's still going to find a way to make plays. And I think they find a way to win this game outright. So I'm going to take the Steelers.
Yeah, I mean, you make good points there, Ryan. But
I like and the I trust Jets Tomlin. Here. That's the big thing. He's not a bad coach.
I like the Jets here.
Okay. Yeah, I mean,
it's a short week against a long. Yeah.
Short week against a guy, team right. coming off a bye.
Yeah. Fucking the Steelers are so bad.
They got embarrassed in lunch. Big Ben got embarrassed in the shadow of Big Ben.
All right, Steelers, this is your last chance. I'm picking you one more time.
Oh, all right, Sean. A lot of Jets money coming in, too. 80%, if you cared. All right, Sean. Cincinnati Bengals head to Buffalo, where Buffalo is getting 7 points. Doesn't sound like Jeff Toole's going to start. EJ Manuel out 6 to 8 weeks. What do? You sign a quarterback who went to Duke. Oh, not a good sign. He did come up under the tutelage of David Cutcliffe, who is infamously the offensive coordinator for Peyton Manning and head coach for Eli Manning in college. I watched the kid play. He's not horrible. But they signed him a week and a half ago. He's now starting an NFL game. I look, 7-point home dog, Sean. You don't come by those too often.
Nope.
And
that's why I like these Buffalo Bills,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah, yeah. It's really, really hard. Really hard for me to not want to take
the Bills
here.
Ride that Thursday night trend.
Oh, interesting. And the Thursday night trend. My problem is the quarterback position. They looked so bad when E.J. Manuel went out of the game. E.J. Manuel's not that good, but he's so much better than those guys. I can't back him. I can't. I'll ride the square play here and take. I'll take the Bengals, lay in the 7 points. I just don't. Spiller's banged up. Jackson's banged up.
They circle the wagons.
Stevie Johnson's banged up. Sure, maybe they'll pull one out of their ass, but I got to ride with the square side here and take the Bengals. I just too many negatives. You really gonna take the Bills, Sean?
Oh, I got him picked, baby.
All right. Next up, Tennessee Titans and Ryan Fitzmagic head up to the Pacific Northwest where they're facing the Seahawks, who are coming home to get healthy. Pete Carroll has been working these guys like dogs all week after that embarrassing loss. This is still, in my opinion, the best team in the NFL. I think they're better than the Broncos. I think they would be favored on a neutral field over the Broncos. Maybe not. I would favor them on I would say at a minimum it's a pick 'em. Maybe the Broncos are favored by what? No more than 2.5. Doesn't matter. They're laying 13.5 versus the Titans. I like the Seahawks here. I think they get healthy. I think Tennessee going up to Seattle is going to be a tough. It's always a tough place to play. I think the crowd's going to get hyped. I see at least one defensive touchdown here. I think Seahawks roll big.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. I think Seattle coming off a loss feels good. And, yeah, they're going to get jacked up for this. I don't see what – and Marshawn Lynch, I think, will be able to run on this Tennessee defense. So
I'd also like to thank the NFL this week for having 4 late games instead of 3 or 2. That's
well, Ryan,
nice.
Most people don't have an awesome 4 TV setup. Hmm. I think that's the problem.
Yeah, that's true.
Most guys have pretty pussy man caves.
Yeah. Speaking of legendary things, Sean – we are seeing the largest spread in the history of the modern NFL as the Denver Broncos host the Jacksonville Jaguars, where the Jaguars are getting 26.5 points, Sean. This is a college football spread. There really isn't much discussion here. You either take the points or you leave this game alone. I think a lot of people are going to leave this game alone because it's crazy. I would love to see what the money line is. I don't know if anyone's offering a money line for Jacksonville, but that's got to be in what, the 12-1 range, if not
more
higher.
Than that.
Well, let's see. I can't find a money line for the game. Hopefully, closer to kickoff, we can get one. You got to take the points, right?
No, Ryan, you don't. I can't take the Jags, man. Just can't do it. Give me the Broncos. Let me ride this one more week.
So here's the crazy thing. So, of course, I cite them a lot, the Football Outsiders, complete number-based stats, projections, everything. You know what they're – now they pick against the spread every week. They order them basically 1 through 15.
How are they doing?
Not very good. Not very good at all. But
nerds.
Based on, typically I can tell you how they're going to feel about a game because they just don't, they rarely like big favorites, right? They like Denver. Minus 27.5. That to me, that blew my mind. Like they never like anything over 10 points. They almost guaranteed to take the dog. They like Denver minus 27.5. That's crazy. All right, Sean. 49ers. Starting to look like they righted the ship. Patrick Willis might be back.
Mm.
Alden Smith will not be back as he's facing felony gun charges. again, this guy was getting praised because he went and got help after he got a DUI. Like, we need to stop this, right? Like,
yeah.
This guy was like a trip out to the rock quarry away from being Aaron Hernandez, it sounds like. the 49ers are home in the Bay Area where they host the Arizona Cardinals. Where the Cardinals are getting 11 points, this spread is probably good, although I personally believe the Cardinals are horrible.
I think 11's a little too high for this 49ers team. I think people are overreacting a little bit to that situational win against Houston and how much they dominated Houston. I think this is one of the few times where they'll win, but the spread will come into play. I think Arizona's a feisty dog at 11 points, so give me Arizona.
Yeah, I'm going to take the favorite here. I think Arizona gets walloped. I think Arizona's garbage, and I think their defensive strengths are not what San Francisco is going to do them. San Francisco is going to pound the rock down their throat. I'm not sure they're going to be able to stop it. But I can't really argue taking the points. I have a feeling, much like I had a feeling when San Francisco played St. Louis, that it just feels like a blowout's coming here. All right, Sean, the marquee matchup of the late games. I mean, unless you think the Jags-Broncos is the marquee matchup.
Oh, it is historically interesting.
Yeah, the New England Patriots host the New Orleans Saints, where the Patriots are -2.5. And I got to ask you this, Sean. When's the last time the Patriots were less than 3-point favorites at home?
Yeah. No, that's...
Seriously, when... Year? It must be... I don't even know when it would have been.
It's been a while.
I would love for someone to look that up and let us know. It must... I mean, it could possibly be pre-Belichick. Maybe early Belichick Brady years, but I mean, not since 2007, at least. Anyway, so for that reason and that reason alone, even though if you look at the underlying numbers, the Patriots should not be probably shouldn't be favored in this game. I think Gronk comes back. I think they right the ship.
Yeah, I think Gronk comes back.
I think Belichick out schemes Rob Ryan and Sean Payton, and It's going to be a late afternoon game in New England. Maybe there'll be some weather. Who knows? I don't really have a good reason for taking the Patriots, but it feels like the stock is as high as it's going to get for New Orleans. And like I said, when's the last time New England was -2.5 at home?
Yeah, you also, if you're a trend guy, you got to love the trends of New England coming off a loss, a straight-up loss, ATS. Tom Brady, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but... Tom Brady, after a straight-up loss, as a favorite of less than 7, is like 24-6. It's something crazy.
Yeah, you're basically betting that they'll win the game. So.
Yeah, and this feels like a situation where New England figures out how to win. And the one time New Orleans has failed to cover, in Tampa, on slower turf, expect similar slapping conditions up in New England. I don't know. It's fall in New England. It's not going to be quite it's not the Superdome.
Feels like a scheduled loss for New Orleans,
yeah,
to be honest with you.
And it does feel like New Orleans can lose this game and not feel bad about themselves.
All right, Sean. Whoa. Little NFC East action. Washington heads to Dallas. Coming off their bye. Cowboys coming off that moral victory, as you said. Cowboys are favored by 5.5. Seems, now this is going to shock everyone listening, but I think... I'm going to fade the Cowboys. And I'll tell you why. I know I kind of been back in the Redskins, but I really think they're getting it. They got it right over the bye week. I trust that Shanahan has this team ready to play. And I just don't think the Cowboys are that good. They just gave up 51 points. I know everyone's giving up 51 points, but I don't like the Cowboys in this spot.
Yeah, no, neither do I. I mean,
it seems high. It seems... I mean, this spread a week, I believe the preseason spread for this game was like 3.5. So, I mean, they've moved the line 2.5 to 3 points. It just seems like this is a value play on the Redskins.
Yeah, I mean, this should be 4. This should be 3.5.
Another situation where the public's all over Dallas, too. Almost 80% of the money.
Yeah, anytime you have a battle like this with a good team and you lose, I think that's kind of deflating. Washington's coming off a bye week. They win this game. They're kind of right back in the mix in the NFC East. You got one more week of RG3 being healthy. He finally had some time to get some work on his knee. I mean, I think this is actually a really good spot for the Redskins.
It is. It really is. I mean,
and for me, it's not even like trying to hate on Dallas. It's more just this feels like a good spot for the Redskins, and 5.5
seems too high. It's a very good spot. I mean, they're coming off. Anyway, last game, Monday night, San Diego Chargers who I have confirmed this, Sean, they will be wearing their powder blues. Never fade the Chargers on Monday night when they're wearing their powder blues. Well, they will be hosting your main man, Andrew Luck, and the Colts, with the Chargers, bit of a strange spread, Sean. Chargers are getting 1.5. Here's what I'm going to say about this game. The Colts are in a bit of a sandwich situation. We discussed this before the show. They just came off of a big win against Seattle. They play Denver next week. I know it's the NFL and you don't look ahead too often, but there's a little bit of letdown. And I also think San Diego's better than some people think they are. They played well. They had a bunch of turnovers last week. They just lost to the Raiders. People are probably looking to fade them for that reason. So I'm going to back the Chargers. Also, Sean, in one of the more heavily skewed point spread splits I've ever seen, Indianapolis is currently getting 97% of the tickets on the spread. That's crazy. For that reason, I would say probably wait. If you like the Chargers, maybe wait till Sunday night, maybe even Monday. Points. Maybe it creeps up to 3. Who knows? Maybe it goes even up to 3.5. I don't know. But I like... I mean, there's no value lost in waiting. If it goes back towards Pick'em, so what? -1.5, Pick'em, there's not a big difference there. But if you can wait and let it go up to 3, that's a huge deal. So I think you wait and back the Chargers.
Yeah, I can't get away from my Colts, baby. I love the Colts. Feels like a good spot. I think these are just the two parallel opposites. Colts find a way to win. Chargers find a way to lose. I think the Colts will figure out a way to beat the Chargers. I don't believe in the sandwich game, especially Monday night. A guy like Andrew Luck, a guy who's early on in his career, a guy who's a leader, is not going to let his team come out and flat. I think they have a very competitive game with San Diego and win by 3. So,
okay.
Lock it up for the Colts, baby.
All right, Sean, should we touch on the baseball series real quick? Or at least the one that we know is complete.
Sure. And maybe do a couple college games.
Yeah. Let's do college first. I got that up right in front of me. All right, Sean. So I've highlighted it. I went through the college slate this weekend. And part of me was like, maybe we should pick a Thursday night game. I'm not a big fan of any of the matchups. The only one that was kind of popped out was Arizona-USC.
What's the line on that?
Thinking about going to it. Arizona is getting 5 points. Feels like a spot where you back USC.
Yeah.
Recently fired coach.
Oh, that place is going to be rocking.
I believe they were on bye last week, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And Arizona is Rich Rodriguez. They're not a very good team. I don't really have an opinion on this, but just situationally, I would take USC. But here are the games that I highlighted, Sean. We got the Oklahoma-Texas game being played at the Cotton Bowl, the Texas State Fair. They did rebuild Big Tex. Apparently, people in Texas are upset. They changed what he looked like a little bit. Of course, you remember last year he burned down. Oklahoma's favored by 13. And I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to take Oklahoma, lay in the points. Not only that, Sean, I think Mac Brown might get fired after this game. I see Oklahoma in a blowout. I'm seeing news stories about how Texas isn't going to take another blowout from Oklahoma. This feels like the game. It feels like Mac Brown's already lost this team. He's fired coordinators. This feels like it's going to be the last straw, and the Texas alum are not going to take lightly to them getting their ass. One of two things could happen. They can come out fired up and maybe win the game, but I think more likely Oklahoma comes out, gets up early, and the game gets away from them, and Oklahoma wins by 24 points.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of that, Ryan, but I'm going to have to go Texas here.
Okay.
Rivalry game, give me 13 points. Mac Brown's got maybe a win one for the Gipper speech lined up. But I do agree that if it's a blowout loss, I think he gets fired just because they want to get a jump on the coaching search, get their name out there in the same way that USC did. So I agree that they will fire Mac Brown if they have a blowout loss. But I think they keep it close. So give me Texas in the 13.
All right, Sean, heading out west. Where Oregon, who has just been automatic this year against the spread, they had actually the Texas line's 13-14, I should point out. Either way, I like it. Oregon heads up to the Pacific Northwest where they take on Washington. who played a very close game with Stanford. But you know what I like to do, Sean? I like to fade teams after they play Stanford, because you know what Stanford does? They beat you up. They beat you up. Keith Price, banged up thumb. And Oregon just, they score 21 points getting off the bus. This spread's 13.5. I'm not sure why it's not 14. I think people see this as a real step up in class for Oregon. But I don't care. Until I see Oregon not run up the score, I got to take them. I'm certainly going to play this as long as it's 14 or less.
Yeah, give me Oregon big here. I think they win by 28.
All right, Sean. Let's do a – I was going to just do one SEC matchup, but there's two interesting SEC matchups.
All right.
First one, Florida heads down to Death Valley where they take on the LSU Tigers. This spread opened at 6.5. It's now at 7 minus 105. Florida has one of the most impressive defenses in the country. LSU, with their new offensive coordinator, Cam Cameron, seem to have a phenomenal offense. Zach Mettenberger looks like he's definite NFL talent. I got to be honest, this is a really intriguing matchup because you have one of the best defenses and defensive backfields in the country going up against what has been a very explosive LSU team. The 7 points is interesting. Now, Florida's starting quarterback out for the year. Their backup has played all right. And I think this is where the game might get away from Florida. They struggle to score points. I think LSU scores enough points against this Florida defense to get the win and cover. To me, it feels like somewhere in the vicinity of 27-17. Florida struggles to score too much.
Yeah, I'm going to go LSU. I liked LSU at the beginning of the year. I still like LSU and just historically like LSU at home.
You think the Mad Hatters got something?
They always seem to show up, LSU Tigers.
All right, last up, Sean. Your future main man when he comes into the NFL, Johnny Football and Texas A&M. In a night game, they head down to Mississippi where they'll play Ole Miss. Ole Miss, of course, garnered a lot of hype going to that Alabama game, really struggled to move the ball. They're getting 5 points at home. Texas A&M's defense is god-awful. But I got to be honest, getting 6 points at home. I'm going to stay chalky. I'm going to give you all chalk for college, but I can't fade Texas. Maybe if this gets to 7, I can consider taking Mississippi.
Yeah, I mean, Johnny Football's in the zone, especially a prime
the dude
time
just
game.
Makes plays. They score points.
Seems like he's going to get destroyed in the NFL.
You know what's interesting, though? He doesn't take big hits. He's really good. A little bit like, now, Russell Wilson's it's not a great comparison.
Russell Wilson has a frame. And that's the thing. In the NFL, you can't avoid all the hits. That's the thing that you don't understand. The collective you.
I guess what I'm saying, though, is he finds a way to not take the big hits.
No, that's great. But I'm telling you, the NFL, the speed is there, and guys are going to run into you. Like, you just can't avoid hits as easily as you can.
I agree.
He's going to get destroyed in the NFL.
Yep.
He will not win more than 5 games as an NFL starter.
All right, Sean, real quick. There are no. I can't find any series prices up for the Dodgers-Cardinals. I would have to imagine that this is going to be somewhere around even. Maybe the Dodgers are favored. I'm not sure. I like the Dodgers regardless.
Yeah. I mean, like you said.
Batting over .330 in the playoffs. They have a sick pitching staff. My only concern is that St. Louis just finds ways to win games. They're kind of this magical team. There's something insane like 7-1 in elimination games in the last couple years. I don't know, but I'm going to take the Dodgers. And then, of course, you'll probably be listening to this tomorrow, maybe while you're watching the Athletics play the Tigers in Game 5 up in Oakland. Of course, we had the Athletics to win the series.
Yeah.
We'll be backing them. I think Verlander gets beat in Game 5. And then hopefully Oakland goes on to take on Boston and beat them.
Yep, that'll be nice. Yeah, I still like the Athletics.
Calling them the Athletics.
Yeah, it is. There's something fun about it. Implies that they're athletes, man. They're athletics.
One last thing, Sean, before we wrap up.
What do you got?
little preview, but we should be fixing to do an NBA preview coming up here, Sean.
Oh yes. Oh, and also,
win totals.
Guys,
sorry.
Just so we will be paying off the Giants Eagles bet. So stay tuned to that.
Totally forgot about that.
Ryan will be getting a tattoo, so you'll have to check.
Yeah, and
out.
The timing will work out. Probably going to be in Vegas. I'm not sure if Sean's going to be with me, but I'll probably be in Vegas rocking the Eagles tattoo. But yeah, NBA preview.
With the Giants jersey on.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
NBA preview coming up. Just wanted to highlight one quick thing, Sean.
Yes.
L.A. Lakers. Over
or
under.
Wow.
What do you think their win total is, Sean?
Oh, I already know it.
You know it?
33.5.
It's moved up to 35, but... And the Celtics are 27.5. Someone pointed out this might be the lowest collective combined
yeah, what,
win
50
total.
And a half? That's like 50.5 is normally what they get
each. Yeah.
Well,
so
my
we're
talking about win totals. What are the 76ers at? Like
16.5.
16? That's kind of high.
To like 16.5 is it's like a 4 in NFL. Like you don't go lower than 16. I've never seen a win total lower than 16 in the NFL or in the NBA. I don't know, Sean. So we should do one of the, we should preview the NBA coming up.
We will do that before opening tip. All right, Ryan, you ready to wrap things up here with the Lead Pipe Lock 3-team tease and upset special? Ugh. Guys, feel free to tweet us your own Lead Pipe Locks, upset special, 3-team tease at Gambling Podcast. Ryan, you want to go first?
Are we including 2.5-point dogs this week?
For upset specials?
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting because it's a very 2.5-point heavy.
I think we got to. Otherwise, it's really there's only a couple options.
Okay. Yeah. Let's just take off any rules for the upsets. If they're a dog, it's an upset.
All right. Give me the Steelers. Steelers is my upset. If you were to force my hand, Sean, I was going to go with the hail to the Redskins, but... you're not forcing my hand. I'm going to take the Steelers. Of course, I'm not going to take the Chargers. That's too much of a gimme. But if that gets up to 3, I mean, seriously, grab that money line. Cash that ticket. All right, Sean, for my lock of the week, I came into the podcast thinking that I was going to spew the Raiders as my lock. Don't want to do that 2 weeks in a row. I'm going to go, and I hate when I do this and I'm wrong because there's nothing worse than watching the Patriots lose and needing them to win. But my lock is going to be the Patriots. I think they right the ship, and I think they beat the Saints up in Foxborough or whatever it's called now, Gillette Stadium. And my my tease, this one, I don't know. I really wanted to find a way to put the Broncos into the tease, but I don't think that's going to work. So I'm going to tease some of these games we were talking about. These, you know, give me the Raiders at 14.5. Give me the 49ers -5. And give me the Steelers +8.5.
All right, Ryan. I'll start with my 3-team tease. I'll take the Skins up to 11.5.
That's good.
I'll take the Seahawks down to 6.5. And I'll take the Houston Texans down to 1.5.
So, actually, the Seahawks would be 7.5.
7.5, sorry. Yeah, you're correct.
Still like it?
Yep. No, right. Still like it. And let's see. So for my upset special...
Wait, you're not teasing the Bears or you are?
Oh, wow. Oh, man.
Sean, what happened?
Okay, yes. Yeah, so I'll do Bears. Tease that down to 1.5. Oh, my God.
That's free money, right?
That is. Tease the Bears down to 1.5, Houston down to 1.5, and Skins up to 11.5.
I'm not fucking around with Houston. Although I'm probably going to end up betting their spread. I'm not fucking around with them in a teaser.
Yeah, it is. I feel like Matt Schaub, for some reason I'm convinced he's going to right the ship.
All right.
Washington Redskins for my upset special.
I like that, Sean.
5.5. That's got to be
a 220 there, maybe?
It's going to be a juicy, hunky money line. They looked great last year when they whooped up on Dallas. I think they got another one in them.
+205.
+205 indeed, Ryan. And let's see here. For my lock of the week.
We all know where you're going here.
Go the Chicago Bears at home against the New York Football Giants. All right, guys, that'll do it for the podcast. Thank you for checking it out. Rate, review, share, Stitcher, iTunes, the whole nine. course, t-shirts, guys. Hit the merch button up there. SportsGamblingPodcast.com. Yeah, hit that merch bar, guys. Get a t-shirt. Help keep the Sports Gambling Podcast ship floating. And as always, yeah, Facebook, Twitter, the whole nine. We're on it. SportsGamblingPodcast.com, at Gambling Podcast, Sports Gambling Podcast on Facebook. You guys know the drill. For the Sports Gambling Podcast, I am Sean Stacking the Money Green. And he is Ryan.
If you don't want to buy a t-shirt, get on the League Heads. Start a league. Fill it up. Tweet at League Heads or at Gambling Podcast. Let us know your league name and that you filled it up, and we'll get you a shirt out in the mail. Also,
oh wow!
Should we talk about the fight, Sean? In two words, Marquez versus Bradley.
Yes. Who do you got?
Well, a Mexican guy I work with like Marquez, so I'm going with Bradley.
All right, I'll throw my money behind Bradley, but
both beat Pacquiao.
Maybe
one really beat Pacquiao. One. Kind of beat Pacquiao.
Ryan, maybe we'll get some late inside tips via boxing, so that's why you got to stay tuned.
Hey,
for the
if
Twitter
we get
handle.
Tips from our boxing insider, we will pass them on to the world.
Although,
the Twitterverse.
We do. We normally cite him, so it's. I don't know if it's. We also kind of, yeah.
It's cool.
He's on point.
Vicious V, man.
He knows what he's talking about. He's got the
boxing. Also a great photographer, by the way. Great stuff.
All right, so check him out on Twitter. Check us out on Twitter. Thank you guys for listening to the podcast. Let it ride.